In recent years, we've found a dramatic increase in the amount of Divrei Torah, printed Divrei Torah, in different forms, whether it's the parsha sheets that you get in shul, or Divrei Torah printed in some of the Jewish newspapers, or sometimes you find Divrei Torah, people have chidushim, Divrei Torah that they print from their computer. There's a lot of Divrei Torah in the printed form abounding. And the question is, what exactly can we do with this Divrei Torah, with these Divrei Torah, when we're finished using them? What's the proper way of disposing of these papers? This wasn't always a problem, because it used to be that all the Divrei Torah that you had was in the form of Svarim. People didn't throw out their Svarim. But now that we have so many Divrei Torah on pieces of paper, the question becomes, what can we do with these pieces of paper to dispose of them appropriately? Do they have the status of Shemos, and then they might require burial? Or perhaps there might be some leniencies. Maybe they wouldn't require the same stringent halacha of Shemos. They wouldn't require burial. Of course, to answer this question, we have to look back at the halachos of Shemos and try to figure out, are there any circumstances in which perhaps we might be able to be lenient? Maybe there are different levels of Shemos. Are there any reasons why we could be lenient and perhaps dispose of these Divrei Torah in some other way or form? The topic of Shemos begins with the pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. The Torah tells us, "Abet ha'abdin eskal makom asesheravdu sham agayim." The Torah requires that we destroy the places in Eretz Yisrael where the goyim served avodah zarah. "V'nitatztem es mizbechosam v'shibartem es matzevosam." We have to break the mizbechos. We have to break the matzevos. And then the pasuk concludes, "V'ibadetem es shemam min hamakom ahu." You have to blot out, destroy, erase the name of the avodah zarah from that place. And then the Torah adds in the next pasuk, "Lo sasim kein laHashem Elokeichem." You're not allowed to do this to Hashem. The question is, what's the "this" that the Torah is referring to? So Rashi there quotes from the Sefri different interpretations. One pshat is that "Lo sasim kein laHashem Elokeichem" refers to the beginning of the pasuk. When he tats the mizbechosam, you have to break the avodah zarah. So it's an azhara. "Lo sasim kein laHashem Elokeichem" is an azhara. We're not allowed to break a part of the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. We can't take a stone off the Beis HaMikdash as a souvenir. You can't destroy any part of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a contrast. We break the avodah zarah, but we don't break any part of the Beis HaMikdash. But then Rashi quotes another pshat from the Sifri. This is a Gemara in Makkos as well, Daf Chav Beis, that the pasuk "Lo sasim kein laHashem Elokeichem" is an azhara that you're not allowed to be mochek as Hashem. You can't erase the Shem Hashem. What does that mean? That means that "Lo sasim kein laHashem Elokeichem" is connected to the last part of the previous pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ibadetem shma min hamakom ahu." You're supposed to destroy the name of the avodah zarah, to erase the name of the avodah zarah, but you can't erase the Shem Hashem. That's the contrast. The contrast is not that you can't destroy part of the Beis HaMikdash, but rather you're not supposed to be mochek as Hashem. You can't erase the name of the name of Hashem. This is the source of the concept of Shemos. What does Shemos mean? It's a strange word. It's really just a simple Hebrew word. Shemos means Shem Hashem. If you have a Shem Hashem, you can't erase that name. If you can't erase it, you can't be ma'abedit, you can't destroy it, so you have to treat it with a proper kavod. So before we discuss exactly what you're supposed to do with these Shemos, with the Shem Hashem, let's first figure out what a Shem Hashem is, what constitutes a Shem Hashem. The Gemara in Shavuos and Daf Lamed Hey lists seven Shemos that one is not allowed to erase. Shemos like the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. These Shemos have such kedusha that we can't even say them completely. We don't say the hey of that Shem. We say Yud Kei Vav Kei, like Ka, right? So Yud Kei Vav Kei. But it's really a hey, as we know, right? So the Shem Havaya is one of the Shemos that you can't be mochek. The Shem Adnus, Elokim, Kael, Tzvokol, Shakai, these are the Shemos that the Gemara in Shavuos lists. And the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah in Perek Vav Alocha Aleph writes, "Kol ma'abed Shem min Hashemos HaKedoshim HaTorah Shenikar Bohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lokem min HaTorah." The Rambam says, if you ma'abed one of the Shemos, if you mochek as Hashem, so you violate the Issa Daraisa, and you get Malkus for that. Lo Sasun is a Lav Daraisa, you would get Malkus for being ma'abed as Hashem. But then the Rambam adds that there's something called kinuyim. There are certain references. We refer to Hashem in different ways. We refer to Him with the word chanun, rachum, different descriptions of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with us. These are called kinuyim. A kinuy is a reference to Hashem. It's not an actual Shem Hashem, but it's a kinuy. We normally use the word kinui in the sense of a nickname, but that's not what we're talking about over here. It's not really a nickname in the classical sense. It means a reference point, some way of referring to Hashem. So the Rambam says, what's the halacha of kinuyim? He says, other kinuyim, harehen kishar divrei hakodesh, umutar lamachkam. One is allowed to erase a kinui for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're allowed to erase. Why? It's Kishar Divrei HaKadosh. What's mean Kishar Divrei HaKadosh? Which Divrei HaKadosh is he referring to? He's referring to what he says in a couple of halachas later, in Halacha Ches, he says, Kisvei HaKadosh uperushehen ubiurehen. Different scrolls, holy scrolls, like the Tanakh, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, etc. I mean, Tanakh is a little strange because there could be shemos, but let's say that you have a part of Tanakh that doesn't have a shem. Megillas Esther, Shir HaShirim, different parts of Tanakh that don't have any shemos per se, but the Kisvei HaKodesh, or Perushayan, commentaries on the Kisvei HaKodesh, Biureyan, Asur L'Sarfan Ola Abdon B'yad. The Rambam says one is not allowed to burn them, one can't destroy them. V'hama Abdon Makin Oso Makas Mardas. But here the Rambam says instead of getting Malkus from the Torah, there's only Makas Mardas. So the Rambam clearly is distinguishing, as the Kesef Mishnah there explains, between these items and the Shemos. If one is Ma'abed es Hashem, if one is Mochik es Hashem, he violates the Yisud Arayis, the Losasim, Kein Lashem Elokeichem. But if one is Ma'abed Kisvei HaKodesh, or Perushen, or Biureyan, that Yisur is an Yisud Rabbanon, it's not an Yisud Arayis. So apparently what the Rambam is saying is that if you're Ma'abed a Kinoi to the Shem, a reference to the Shem, like Chanun or Racham or something like that, if it's written as a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's like Kisvei HaKodesh. That has a din derabbanan, it's an isid derabbanan to be mochik that kinui, but it's still asr. So even though the Rambam says that mutar l'machkam, that means min haTorah it's mutar l'machkam. Min derabbanan, it's going to be asr, just like Kisvei HaKodesh and Perushen and Biureyim are going to be asr to be mochik as well. So what emerges from the Rambam is that if someone were to ask you, is a person allowed to be mochik divrei Torah? So at first glance, you would say it's an isid derabbanan. It's not an isid deraisa. The pasuk l'sasim kein l'Hashem elokeichem doesn't refer to divrei Torah. It refers to shemos. The shemos of Hashem. But midrabbanan is an extra iser. Chazal said, even Kisvei HaKodesh and Perushim and Biurim of the Torah, one is not allowed to be mochik either. Those are like kinuyim for the shem. What's the nafka mina? There's a big difference, because if you say it's only an iser rabbanan, so as long as you don't erase it derech hashchasa, if you're not doing it in a destructive manner, if you're doing it l'shem tikkun, perhaps it might be mutter. Like if you wrote a little different, a little vartar, and you want to erase it to write something else, maybe that's mutter, that's letzorach tikkun. You're not destroying that particular vartar. Let's say you're fixing something up. Let's say you wrote something and you made a mistake and you want to erase that line and put another vartar in its place. So if it would be an iser d'oraisa to be mochik es Hashem, to be mochik that vartar, of course it would be asur. Just because you wrote a shem Hashem and you realize you wanted to write the shem Hashem and then you change your mind, you want to write something else. You can't erase that shem Hashem, even if it's l'shem tikkun, even if it's for a productive purpose. But if the iser to be mochek, to erase divrei Torah, is only midrabbanan, so perhaps derech hashchasa might be usher. If it's for a destructive purpose, that might be usher, but for a productive purpose, it might be mutter. What other writings do we have that might be defined as shemos? So the Gemara in Shavuos on the Amud Beis, Lamed Hei Amud Beis, it continues. It says, what happens if a person writes the Aleph Lamed from the name Elohim? If you write the Aleph Lamed from the name Elohim, so the Gemara says, that can't be Nimchak either. Why? Well, it's part of the shame. It has a different shame, I should say. Elohim is a full shame, but Kael is also a shame. So that is a shame by itself. So of course it can't be Nimchak. But if you write Shin Dalet from Shakai, that can be nimchak. The Gemara says that can be nimchak. If you only had in mind to start the shame, but you didn't finish the shame, you wrote shin dalet, that's it. So that doesn't have kedusha. That can be erased. Tosfos quotes from some Rishonim that they have a girsa in the Gemara that just like if you write aleph lamed from Elohim, you can't erase that. So too, if you write aleph dalet from the shame of adnos, you can't erase that either. Now that's a big chiddush. Because writing Aleph Lamed from the name Elohim, we can understand why you can't erase that, because that's a shame in and of itself. But just like Shin Dalet from Shakai is not a shame in and of itself, so too Aleph Dalet is not, Ad is not a name, it's not a shame Hashem, so why can't I erase that? It's only part of Adnus. So Tosfos says, the difference is that the shame Adnus has greater chashivas. That's what he calls a shame Hamiyuchad. That's apparently a more significant shame, more than Tzvakos, more than Shakai. And therefore, even if you write Aleph Dalet, if you write a little bit of that shame, it also can't be erased. That can't be erased either. So this led the Trumas Hadeshen, one of the Rishonim who has a whole collection of different tshuvas. The Sefer Trumas Hadeshen is quite interesting because it's actually a collection of different tshuvas that he wrote without shilas. He writes the shilas. He created the shilas. He wanted to write a tshuva about different topics, but people didn't give him the shilas. So he created the shilas to write tshuvas. Most shilas and tshuvas svarim are that they receive, the particular Rishonim received shilas from other people, and they write tshuvas to the shilas. This is an interesting sefer. The sefer Tshuvas Hadeshen comes in two chalokim. It's actually printed together, but it's a collection of tshuvas that the Tshuvas Hadeshen himself put together based on shilas that he wanted to answer. So he has a suffix. He says, what should be the din of the shame or the what people write yud yud, the double yud that they write in the sidurim? You see often in sidurim, Baruch Atah Hashem is written yud yud. I saw recently that the Otzko Siddur writes yud kei vav kei. It doesn't even write the yud yud anymore. But in the old sidurim, when I was growing up, that's what the sidurim all had. Chumashim also had often. They didn't want to write the yud kei vav kei out, so they just wrote yud yud. So the question is, can you be mochik that? Does it have the status of a shem Hashem? So the suffix of the Trumas Hadeshen is the Yud Yud is really the beginning of the Shem Havaya. It's beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why write Yud Yud, right? Lamed Lamed. Yud Yud is because it's the beginning of the Shem Havaya of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the question is, it's like a Rosh HaTevis almost. It's the beginning of the Shem Havaya, so maybe we should treat it as a Shem Havaya, so you shouldn't be able to be Mochegit. That's the suffix of the Trumas Hadeshen. He says, look, Tosfos had said that Aleph Dalet of the Shem Adnos can't be erased either. Even though that itself is not a Shem Hashem, but because it's the beginning, it's the beginning of a Shem HaMiyuchad, that's significant. So the Trumas Hadeshen says, maybe the same should hold true for Yud Yud. It's also the beginning of a Shem Hashem, the beginning of a Shem Havai, so maybe you shouldn't be able to erase that either. But he says, I'm not so sure, because this is only one letter. Aleph Dalet is two letters. This is only one letter. Maybe it's not so Choshev. So maybe if it's not so significant, maybe it would be Mutter to be Mochik. So this is a shaila that the Trumas Hadeshen raised, and the Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch lechumra that we are not mochek a yud yud unless it's letzorach. The Shach says letzorach gadol. So that's why if a person has a siddur with the yud yud, sidurim with yud yud, you'd have to put them into shemos. We'll talk about what to do with the shemos, but they would be treated as shemos. And if let's say for instance we would decide that you have to bury shemos, then you'd have to bury that as well, because even though it's not a full shem Hashem, we paskin that the yud yud, since it's the beginning of a shem miyuchad of either Yud Kei Vav Kei or Adnos, those are the Shemos Miyuchadim, those are the most significant of the Shiva Shemos She'enam Nimchakim. So that, even if you only have one letter, even if you don't have two letters, you only have one letter, that's already significant. And that would have the status of Shemos. Yes?
It also said that you can't write Aleph Dalet, in contrast to the Gemara that says you can write Shin Dalet, because Adnos is...
Not that you can't write them.
You can't erase them.
Yeah, right? You couldn't erase
them. Because Aleph Dalet is a more important name.
Right, it's a Shema Miyuchad.
So what's the Trumas Hadeshen, the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, is that?
It's on the same level as the Shem Adas, right? It'll be on the same level as the Shem Adas. But the question is, if you only have one letter, the Yud Yud is not, that's not really two letters straight. I mean, even if you'll say, like, the second Yud is not even in the Shem, so I'm not really sure where the second Yud came from.
But to also sort of agree that Adas and
Yud Kei Vav Kei will be on the same level for this, yes. Another classical example that's discussed in Poskim is the idea of writing a Beis Hay on the top of a piece of paper. Right? Be'ezras Hashem. People often... I'm sorry? Bet Samach Dalet wouldn't be a problem. Bet Samach Dalet is B'siyata D'Shmaya. That's not Hashem Hashem. But let's say you say Be'ezras Hashem. So you would say, well, what's the problem? Hashem is not a name. Hashem is a way to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it itself is not a name. The problem is some of the poskim point out that the abbreviation Beis Hei Be'ezras Hashem started because the Hei is not really an abbreviation for the word Hashem. We say Be'ezras Hashem, but it's really a reference to the Shem Havaya. The Hei is really a reference to the Shem Havaya. Be'ezras Hashem, that's how we pronounce it. That's how we refer to the Beis Hei. But it's really Be'ezras Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the question is, are you allowed to write that on the top of the piece of paper? And let's say you write that on the piece of paper. It's a prevalent minhag. Many people do write Beis Hei on the top of their paper. Does it have the status of shameless or not? So there are approaches in the poskim and akotz al akotz, one extreme to the other. The Rogatchover was a famous gaon in Dvinsk in Europe. He doesn't have so many tshuvas, but here he has a tshuva. The Rav Chava has a tshuva. He says one is not allowed to write Beisei on the top of the Amud because it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hey is no worse than the Yud. They're both kinuyim for the Shem Hashem, and one would have to put that into Shemus. One would have to treat that as Shemus. On the other hand, some quote from the Chida. The Chida says that the Hey doesn't mean anything. The Beisei on the top of the Amud is just the... It's just a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it doesn't have the status of Shemus at all. One is allowed to write the Beis Hei. In fact, one should write the Beis Hei. They quote Rav Shternbach in one of his shulas says that the Brisker Rav used to have a minute to write Beis Hei on the top of the daf because it reminds a person HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. We don't forget that we need Siyata Deshmai, etc. So these are the two extremes. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says, Me'ikar Adin, he doesn't really see the problem, but he doesn't see the necessity. Rav Moshe says, why should you write Beis Hei on the top of the daf? Just write B'siyata D'Shmaya, you'll get yourself into the problem. Rav Moshe says, I don't really think it's such a problem anyway, but because there are some poskim who have trouble with it, why write it? Just write B'siyata D'Shmaya, you won't have the problem to begin with. So different people have different minhagim. I think a lot of the Sfaradim are noheg to write Beis Hei on the top of the daf because of the Chida. But many feel like, let's just write B'siyata D'Shmaya, then we won't have the problem of Beis Hei to begin with. Another issue that's discussed is, let's say we talk about the Shem Hashem in a foreign language, Laz, English, like G-O-D. Does that have the status of Shemos? That's also a machlokas. But it's commonly quoted, the Shach has a shita in Yeridea. Shach in Yeridea, Simen Kuf Ayin Tes, Sekot in Yud Aleph. The Shach is megal to assume that a Shem Hashem belaz, a Shem Hashem in a foreign language, not in Hebrew, doesn't have a status of Shemos at all. One could erase it, one could say the word G-O-D without a problem. The Mishnah Berurah, he does quote the Shach, he does say, Me'ikar Adin, it doesn't have the status of Shemos, but he says one shouldn't say G-O-D in a bathroom or something like that, right? That's a bizayon for the Shem, but it wouldn't have the status of Shemos in the sense that you would not have to bury it, you would not have to treat it with Kedusha as long as you don't mention it b'makom bizayon. So it wouldn't really have the status of Shemos if it would be printed in a newspaper or something of that nature. That's another case. So what have we spoken about so far? We've talked about the Yud Yud. We talked about the Esos Hashem Beis Hei. We talked about the Shem Hashem Balaz. There's a discussion in the poskim. Let's say a person writes the name of a regular individual, but it has a Shem Hashem in it, like Rafael or Shmuel or Aryeh, the Yud K at the end, or Shalom. Shalom is a Shem Hashem by itself. Does one have to somehow change that shem? Maybe write Shalom without the mem and put a little asterisk on top. Or if you write Rafael, maybe put a dash, a hyphen between the aleph and the lamed. What does one have to do? Is there any kedusha? So the poskim say Me'ikar Adin, there really is no kedusha. There's no reference to the Shem Hashem, you're not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the name. It doesn't really have kedusha. But some are makbid, some taka are makbid, not to write the full shem. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in Simen Pei Dalet Sivkot and Vav. He quotes from the Shari Tshuva that some really are makbid. They're careful not to write the full shem. It's a chumra. Many are makbid, but there are some who are makbid. Some actually have a further chumra. Some don't write the name Yehuda with a hey. Now what is that? Yehuda is not a Shem Hashem. The problem is they're afraid that they might leave out the Dalet, and if you forget the Dalet, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Even though there's no kedusha in that shem, because you didn't have in mind to be mekadesh that shem, you didn't have in mind to write that as a shem Hashem. You meant to write Yehuda, and you forgot the dalet. Nevertheless, as a harchaka, people have such cover for the shem Hashem that they want to avoid writing a shem Hashem at all costs. So they write Yehuda with an aleph at the end. That's the source. If you find some gedolim, taka write they write the name Yehuda with an aleph, not with a hey. But strictly speaking, because it's the name of a private individual, it's not really the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There really is no problem. Some people raise the question, can you say Beit El? Maybe you should say Beit Kel. So again, it's the name of a place. It's not a Shem Hashem, even though obviously when Yaakov Avinu gave the name Beit El, he was referring to Hashem, to the fact that this is the place HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his Shekhinah appear to him in the dream. But the reality is, it's the name of a place. So because it's only the name of a place, you can't say Beit El. There would be no problem.
I'm saying it in the bathroom or something.
Right, so that's interesting, to say it in a bathroom. I guess if you can avoid doing that, you can do so. I think technically speaking, it's probably mutter, because it's really just the name of a place. It's really just the name of a place in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, the Mishnah Berurah is not going writing.
In writing Beit El?
No, in writing.
The Mishnah Berurah was...
Rafal or Shalom or something.
He's saying, according to those opinions in the Mishnah Berurah from the Shari Tshuva, is a bathroom. So he says you should write a kav mafrid, you should write a hyphen. So maybe it's a covered for the shem. You shouldn't say it in the bathroom. So maybe you shouldn't say beit el in the bathroom either. Maybe perhaps there's reason to be machmir not to say beit el in the bathroom. Yes.
I think I already said you don't have a mind to refer to Hashem. Let's say like you're in the bathroom and say, oh my God, like you're not really saying it as a
right. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah said, that even though God might not necessarily have kedusha, there is a tashbetz that holds that it has kedusha. So even though there are some people who are mekel who say G.O.D., others are more machmir. But even according to those shittos who claim that G.O.D. is not a shame, it doesn't have the kedusha of the shame, the Mishnah Berurah says, but it's a kavod for the shame, since it is a reference to the shame Hashem, so at least in the bathroom one should not mention G.O.D. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Other people are mekel, if you follow the shach straight, so then you'd be allowed to mention it even in the Beis HaMerchatz, even in the Beis HaKisei. Okay, so those who mention G.O.D. in the bathroom, well, first of all, the circumstance that you're talking about is where a person lost himself. He didn't realize what he was saying. Okay, if he said it, he said it. The question is one allowed, prospectively, he knows what he's going to say, you know, with the help of so-and-so. Right? So should he say G.O.D. in the bathroom? Is it mutter for him to say G.O.D. in the bathroom? So according to the Mishnah Berurah, he shouldn't do that. But strictly speaking, according to the Shach, if you assume that that G.O.D. doesn't have the Kedusha of Hashem Hashem at all, so one would be allowed to mention it in the bathroom. Okay, what do we do with Shemos? Now that we've discussed a little bit what Shemos are, yes?
Are you able to say Hashem in the bathroom?
So that's an interesting question. Hashem is also referring to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch, right? So it's probably better not to. It's probably better not to say anything, even though at first glance Hashem is even less removed. But again, it's all covered for Hashem, so you probably shouldn't say Hashem, probably. But technically speaking, it might be. But if you could say G-O-D, Hashem is less than G-O-D, what's the difference? I mean, it is Hebrew, but it's not the Shem Hashem, literally. People try not to say it in the bathroom. What do you do with Shemos? So, yes, you bury them. So, again, we said that the Issa deraisa lo sasin ken l'Hashem Elokechem refers to a real Shem Hashem, but there's an Issa derabanan to be mochag even kitzvei HaKodesh. So what are you supposed to do? Clearly, you're not supposed to be noheg minig bizon. You're not supposed to deal with them in a disgraceful manner. That's why we keep on hearing some poskim saying, well, even if technically it doesn't have the status of Shem Hashem, but you shouldn't say it in the bathroom, etc. There's no question that you shouldn't deal with it disgracefully. But it could be that there's a chiyuv to do something more than that. The Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chavav writes that Sefer Torah Shebola gonzen oso eitzel tamid chacham ubekli cheres. A Sefer Torah Shebola, a Sefer Torah that withers, that you're not going to read from it from shul, read from it in shul anymore, you bury it by a Talmud Chacham in a Kli Cheres. So we're not going to discuss why you put it next to a Talmud Chacham. It's a kavod. It's actually a machlokes in the poskim. Is it a kavod for the Sefer Torah, or is it a kavod for the Talmud Chacham? But leaving that aside, and you put it in a Kli Cheres. Why put it in a Kli Cheres? So not only is there a chiyuv to bury the Sefer Torah, but you put it in a Kli Cheres in an earthenware vessel, because that will prevent it from getting destroyed even further. If you just put it in the ground, all of the water and the other minerals and worms, etc., in the ground will cause it to decay even faster. So you see, the Gemara treats this so significantly that not only is one not allowed to be ma'abed as Hashem, and one has to bury the shame, one has to treat it with kedusha, with the proper kavod, but one even has to do something to prevent it from becoming destroyed even further. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch passed, the Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, and Simen Kuf Nun Dalat Sif Hei, says that one has to bury the Sefer Torah b'kli cheres. So there the Mishnah Berurah writes, not only a Sefer Torah of Chamisha Chomshei Torah, but even Nevi'im and Ksuvim. If it's written on klaf with dyo, if it's a scroll, if it's Kisvei HaKodesh written on a scroll, one has to bury that as well. And he adds further, Shar Sfarim as well, Shar Sfarim Shabalu, one has to bury. So not only is there a chiyuv to bury the Sefer Torah, which has actual Shemos in it, but even the Nevi'im and Ksuvim as well, even those Ksuvim that don't have a Shem Hashem in it, Megillas Esther, Shir HaShirim, even if it doesn't have a Shem Hashem, but even Svarim don't have a Shem Hashem, they're not part of Tanakh, they also have to be buried as well. Do they have to be buried Eitzel Talmud Chacham, but Kli Cheres? That's a different issue, but they certainly would have to be buried. So the question is, what to do with all the Shemos? This is the question that we raised at the beginning of the year, now that we have a background. So what can we do now that there's a plethora, a veritable explosion of printed Divrei Torah? What can we do with the Kisvei HaKodesh, with the Divrei Torah that we have? Certainly no less than what the Rambam says, Perushim, Biurim, explanations and commentaries to the Kisvei HaKodesh. So if Kisvei HaKodesh and Perushim and Biurim have to be buried, what should we do with the Shemos? Bury them? It's a very costly procedure. It's nice for a person to be machpid on the yeshiva's cheshbon to say, okay, I'll put everything I have in Shemos. It's the yeshiva's money that you're playing with. It's the mamonat zibur. So what can one do? Is there any leniency not to bury these items? So this was actually a discussion that the Achronim raised, even before the advent of the computer and the printer, when we really have a complete explosion of Divrei Torah, printed Divrei Torah. When the printing press was invented, they also had this problem. There were a lot of shemos around, a lot of Divrei Torah around in the shuls, and people were poor. They didn't have money. They couldn't pay people to bury them. It was very difficult. And the concern was that if the Divrei Torah are going to hang around the shul, people are not going to keep it in their homes. They'll bring it to the shul and they'll leave it in the shul. So people are going to step on it. It'll be bibizayon. It'll be in disgrace. So what can we do? So some of the Achronim suggested maybe we should burn these Divrei Torah. Burn Divrei Torah? How can we be? How can we do this? The answer is we're burning Divrei Torah for kavod. You're burning it so that it wouldn't be bibizayon. It won't be in disgrace. So maybe that's not a problem. Even though one, strictly speaking, is not supposed to burn Kisvei HaKodesh and Perushim and Biurim, commentaries to Kisvei HaKodesh, but maybe that means if you're burning it b'derech hashchasa, if you're burning it in a destructive manner, l'shem genai, but if you're doing it l'shem kavod, maybe it should be mutter. So this was a big discussion in the Achronim. The Shavus Yaakov, one of the Gedolei Achronim, he was matir. He had a lenient position. He felt that it should be mutter to burn Kisvei HaKodesh, to burn Shemos. To burn Shemos, he said even to burn all Shemos, the real Shemos, She'enam Nimchokim. One can burn all Shemos if you're doing it L'Shem Kavod, because you can't bury, you have no option. So the other option is to leave it B'Bizayon, and it'll be in a state of disgrace, and then it's better to burn it. Most Achronim disagreed with the Shavus Yaakov, and the Mishnah Berurah writes, L'Halacha, there in Simen Kuf Nun Dalet, Zivkat and Chav Dalet, that one should not burn the Svarim if they have trouble. They have trouble, they don't know what to do with the Shemos, so find some other option, but burning is not an option. But some poskim are makel in certain circumstances. They makel for the Shavus Yaakov in certain circumstances. What circumstance? For example, one of the lenient Shemos. Let's take, for instance, a Shem Hashem Belaz, English. Some kind of foreign language, Shem Hashem in a foreign language. Reb Chaim Ozer Grzensky, one of the Gedolim in pre-war Europe, in his Tshuva Sachiezer, he deals with the newspaper Israelite. Israelite was a Jewish newspaper run by a Jewish establishment, and apparently they'd write Gut in the newspaper. They'd write a Shem Hashem Belaz. So the question Reb Chaim Ozer was asked, is it mutter for them to do it? Is it lifnei iver because they're causing the tzibur to be nichshal in throwing out Shemos? What should they do? So he writes, l'chatchila, really one should do something different. You shouldn't write the gut full out. You shouldn't write G-O-D or Gimel Aleph Tes if you write it in the Yiddish. You should use the term Abishter, which means creator, or you should, if you want to write gut, put a hyphen between the Gimel and the Tes. In other words, you could do something to lower it even one level, to lower it another level. The Shach already said that Hashem Hashem in Laz, Hashem Hashem written in a foreign language is not really Hashem Hashem to begin with. But maybe we should be machmir, we should assume some want to be machmir to treat it with a sense of kavod. Reb Chaim Ozer says, so what you should do is put a hyphen in the middle of the name, or you could just refer to Hashem with a totally different name, Abishter or something else, and then you won't have the problem to begin with. But he says, but technically speaking, he thinks if the name would be written complete, if you write Gimel Aleph Tes, you would be allowed b'di'evit. If it's already written, you'd be allowed to burn those shemos. Since after all, we're only talking about a Shem Hashem Belaz. We're talking about a Shem Hashem written in a foreign language, so then the stringencies of Shem Hashem don't apply in the same way, and it would be mutter to burn. Dayan Weiss as well, in his Chuvas Minchas Yitzchak, he was a dayan in Manchester before he moved to Yerushalayim, so he also had the same shiloh with the Jewish Chronicle, another Jewish newspaper. I'm sure they'd say the same thing about the Jewish Press and the Jewish Observer and whatever other magazines and newspapers we have. Hamodia, Yatetnem, I don't know, pick your newspaper, right? So he says about the Jewish Chronicle, he says, it should be mutter to burn. I guess they must have had incinerators there. It's not so common anymore, but if you have an incinerator, so just to put the newspaper in the incinerator, he could be makel for the Shavus Yaakov. If you assume that Hashem Hashem Belaz already is on a lower level, so you could be makel for the Shavus Yaakov at least for the Shem Hashem in a foreign language, to be allowed to burn. Okay. This was one discussion that the Achronim had. But there's another situation in which the Achronim wanted to be making a little bit, and that is the case of galleys. Galleys, when the printing press came out, so the idea of galleys, which means printing a sefer, printing a book on some on pieces of paper to check for errors. They do that when they print a Beis Yitzchak in the yeshiva. So they right, that's the Torah journal that the yeshiva comes out with. So they'll print a number of pages. If you give an article into Beis Yitzchak, they'll print your 5, 6, 7 pages and give it to you to look over to see if there are any errors. So what can one do with the galleys? The printing companies, the publishing houses, were faced with a terrible dilemma. They were printing a lot of galleys to look through the sefer, this different sefer that they were publishing. The problem is they had so many galleys left over, so many pieces of paper with divrei Torah, they didn't know what to do, so they looked to some of the gedolim to decipher them. What exactly could they do? Is there any kula? Certainly, if you have real shemus, let's say you're printing chumashim. So in the chumashim, you'll have real shemus. You'll have a yud-yud, or you'll have a yud-kei-vav-kei. You have a real issue of it. That's not even a shem Hashem balaz. So even if Reb Chaim Ozer and Dayan Weiss are willing to be mekel on a shem Hashem written in a foreign language, but if you don't have a shem Hashem in a foreign language, is there any kula? Is there any kula at all? So the poskim came up with two famous yesodos, two important kulas. First of all, the Netziv in his Chuvas Meshiv Dovar suggests that any shemos that are written for temporary use, if you don't expect it to last forever, there's no kedusha that's chal on that shem. Those divrei Torah don't have kedusha. If it's only for temporary use, that doesn't have kedusha. That was the yesod of the Netziv. And other achronim, the Chazon Ish, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, others, there are other achronim who are mekel for a different reason. They claim that if something is published not for the purpose of limud, not for the purpose of learning from, it doesn't have kedusha. So these are the two svaras that I've given. Either if it's printed only for temporary use, or if it's not printed for limud, not printed to learn from. Both of these ideas solve the galleys issue. Because again, the galleys are only printed temporarily. You're printing them only to look through them, to fix them up. Secondly, they're not printed for learning, they're printed for checking. So for either one of these reasons, there wouldn't be kedusha, and then perhaps you would be able to burn them. Maybe you could, I guess, to destroy them, to put them in the garbage, maybe perhaps one should refrain from doing so, but as long as you would put it in some kind of a plastic bag, right? If you don't put it in a state of bizayon, there would be no chiyuv gniza. That's the point. There would be no need to bury them. Perhaps you should be able to burn them. But certainly there would be no need to bury them. So this is quite relevant. There are many Chidushe Torah that people publish. They're working on different Chidushe Torah. They write up a shir. Let's say a person is giving a shir. They don't necessarily always keep the notes from the shir. They write up notes just as headings, reminders of different points that you want to make in a shir. So sometimes you actually keep the notes. Sometimes you don't want to keep the notes. So that exactly falls under the rubric of these two svaras. It's only for temporary use. And is it really for limud? It's not for limud. It's just to remind you when you're giving the shir. So that's not really for limud. The limud was done before you wrote the notes or as you're writing the notes. So according to either one of these reasons, perhaps there would be no chiyuv gniza for such notes. Obviously, this doesn't apply to real shemos. This doesn't apply to real shemos. Real shemos, perhaps there's more room to be machmer because there's an issa d'oraisa to be mochag es Hashem. So maybe there's more room to be machmer, but at least when it comes to kisvei hakodesh or perushim or biurim, maybe there's room to be mek. There actually is enough gemina between these two reasons, whether the kula is only because these divrei Torah are written for temporary use, or the kula is due to the fact that it's not l'shem limud, it's not to learn from. And that is, let's say, to write divrei Torah on a blackboard. Can you erase divrei Torah that's written on a blackboard? Which reason applies in terms of divrei Torah on a blackboard? It's only temporary, but it is l'shem limud. If I were to write something on the blackboard for the purpose of our learning, so that's not simply to check something out. I want to help in the learning per se. So that might be a problem if you assume that only something that's written not for limud is going, it does not fall under the rubric of Shemus. But if you assume that something written only for temporary use doesn't fall under the rubric of Shemus, so then there might be a kula even for the blackboard. This is a Shilin Poskim. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Lamed Beis says that Haluchos ain't bahen kedusha. Luchos don't have kedusha. Which luchos are we talking about? Not the luchos at the time of Matan Torah. So Rashi writes luchos means the open areas of the Sefer Torah, the empty areas of the Sefer Torah. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says luchos means a chalkboard. A chalkboard. They don't have kedusha. Presumably, this is a source for the Netziv's Yesod, that anytime that you write Divrei Torah for temporary use, since you're going to erase it, it doesn't have kedusha. So if you're Megill for the Rambam, then perhaps one would be allowed to erase Divrei Torah that's written on the blackboard. I guess that's what most people are Megill for, because we do commonly erase what's on the blackboard. We don't just leave it for the non-Jew who comes to clean up the blackboard after sessions, you know, after hours. If someone has Divrei Torah on the blackboard and then another professor comes in, even if the professor is Jewish, the common custom is that the professor will erase the Divrei Torah on the blackboard and give his next class and write on the blackboard again. There was a whole discussion. It was a Shaila raised. Someone apparently wrote the Shem Yudke Vovke on a blackboard. The question was what to do with that. It's not quite what we're talking about. We're only referring to the lower level Isser Mechika. Right, mechikas Hashem of kisvei hakodesh and perushim and biurim, that which is only usher midrabanan. So maybe there's a room to be makel if it's only temporary. But a real shem Hashem, perhaps there's more of a room to be machmir. So what would you do with that? So there was a whole discussion. Some actually claimed it's mutter to erase because again it's only temporary. Some were even makel for the real shem. Some claimed you have to take the blackboard off and actually bury the blackboard. And some claim, wait until the non-Jew erases the blackboard. It shouldn't be your business, but you shouldn't actually erase it. It's a real shaila. It's not so simple, but this is all based on whether the svara that the Netziv has is actually accepted, and how far is it accepted? Is it accepted even for a Shem Hashem? Many claim for a real azkara, for a real Shem Hashem, one should not be makel for this principle. Some raise the question, right, what to do with the newspaper? Right, a newspaper that has Divrei Torah in it. So what can we say? What can we say based on the principles that we've enumerated until now? So if you have a newspaper that really is a secular newspaper, but every so often it'll quote like a Maimer Chazal, it'll quote a Pasuk in Chumash, just, you know, just as an expression. If it's just as an expression, if it's not really L'Shem Limud, so maybe we have both Svaras to rely on. First of all, it's not L'Shem Limud. It's not for learning. And secondly, maybe you could say that a newspaper is not really for long-term use, it's really only for temporary use. Do the publishers expect you to save the newspaper? Some people do. But is it really expected that you're going to save the newspaper? Maybe you could say it's not really expected that you'll save the newspaper. So maybe you have both svaras. Both, it's only published for temporary use, and it certainly isn't for limud in that case. Yeah. But that certainly will not explain newspapers that have printed Divrei Torah in them for the purpose of the Divrei Torah. Or Parsha sheets. Parsha sheets are printed for Divrei Torah. Frankly, they're not printed for temporary use. I think many people save the Parsha sheets, certainly from week to week. Yeah, if it gets messy, then they try to take care of them. But normally, very commonly, people do save the Parsha sheets. So what can we offer as a possible answer for what we should do with these parasha sheets? So Rav Sternbach in a tshuva suggests something very interesting. He says maybe these parasha sheets, maybe Kisvei HaKodesh, Perushim, Biurim, this case that the Rambam has, that one is not allowed to burn or to destroy these secondary kinds of shemos, the Rambam doesn't say that there's a mitzvah of geniza on them, that you really have to bury them. Rav Sternbach suggests maybe the Rambam would hold that there really is no chiyuv geniza on these secondary kinds of shemos. Maybe there's only a chiyuv geniza on a shem Hashem, a real azkara. These secondary shemos are really what we would call tashmishei mitzvah. Tashmishei mitzvah. What gives them kedusha? They're not really shemos of Hashem, but they're tashmishei mitzvah. They are things that we use to fulfill a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Talmud Torah. We're using them to learn from. So maybe if they're only Tashmishei Mitzvah, they'd have the din of Tashmishei Mitzvah. We know Tashmishei Mitzvah are Nizrak, and we can throw out Tashmishei Mitzvah, but we can't be knowing Bahem Minag Bizan. We can't treat them disrespectfully. like tzitzit strings. What do we do with a tzitzit string? So the Mishnah Berurah says you can use a tzitzit string as a place mark in a sefer. Most people don't do that because it's a little cumbersome, it's a little difficult. Some people do. But if you don't want to do that, what can you do? You can throw out the tzitzit string, but you just can't throw it out with your potato peels. You can't throw it out in a disrespectful way. So you can put it in a plastic bag and put it in the garbage. As long as you don't mix it with the garbage, so that's not a minig bizayon. It's nizra, but it's not a minig bizayon. People do put it in shemus. People do put the tzitzis in shemus, but technically speaking, you don't have to put tzitzis in shemus. You can put the tzitzis in the garbage as long as you put it in a separate bag. Put it in a separate bag, then you can throw it out. A lulav that you finished using, what should you do with the lulav? So we know the famous minig, the classical minig, is to burn the chametz with it. Even nasaba mitzvah achas, nasaba naveba mitzvah achriti. Since we've done one mitzvah with the lulav, so we figure let's do another mitzvah. It's a covet for the lulav. But technically speaking, if you don't want to burn it with the chametz, so let's say you leave to burn the chametz, you burn the chametz, and then you say, forgot the lulav. It happens a lot, right? You forget to burn because you left the lulav on top of your bouquet, so then you didn't take it for beer chametz. So technically speaking, you can throw the lulav out, put it in a separate plastic bag, and then you can put it in the regular garbage because you're not being knowing a minig bizayon. Rav Sternbach suggests that maybe the same should hold true for Kitzvei HaKodesh and Pirushim and Biurim. Divrei Torah, according to the Rambam, it's awesome in the Rabbanah to be ma'abed them, to destroy them, but they might not be a chi of Geniza. Maybe they only should be viewed as Tashmishe Mitzvah, so as long as you put them in a separate bag, it should be mutter to put them out with the regular garbage. That's what he suggests. Not everyone agrees with him. Some claim that maybe you shouldn't put it in the regular garbage. But even though you shouldn't put it in the regular garbage, there still might be, even though you shouldn't put it in the regular garbage, there still might be a kula here. What's that kula based on? It's based on the concept of grama. Grama, causative action. Let's say I'm not the one who's actually being ma'abe, the Shem Hashem, the Kitzvei HaKodesh, or the Divrei Torah. Let's say I'm just doing something which is going to cause damage, which is going to cause them to be destroyed. Is that asur, or should that be mutter? The Gemara in Shabbos and Avkuf Chof Amabeis quotes an interesting case. Quotes a brisa. Let's say someone, Misha Hoya Hashem Kosov Al Besaro. Let's say someone had Hashem Hashem written on his flesh. Is he allowed to go to the mikveh? Presumably, by going to the mikveh, it's going to rub off. He's going to go to the mikveh. He has to do a tvilas mitzvah. Somehow has to go to the mikveh. Is it mutter for him to go to the mikveh? He's going to rub off the Hashem Hashem. So the brisa says, brisa quotes one day in the Tanaim who says, yes, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? The Gemara explains that day. The pasuk says, "V'ibadetem Hashemah min amokam ahulos asin ken laHashem elokeichem." Asiya osur grama shari. Asiya lo sasim ken. You can't do an asiya of ibud. V'ibadetem Hashemah. You destroy the name of the Avodah Zarah, but not the Shem Hashem. You can't do an asiya of ibud to be ma'abe biyadayim. But grama's mutter. So it seems like an open and shut gemara that gram mechikas Hashem is mutter. If you're only causing the shame to be nimchak, that's okay. The Chasam Sofer in Arachayim and Simel Lamed Beis in a tshuva. He's bedayik from that gemara that gram mechikas Hashem is mutter, and he passes that way lahalocha.
That's only for mitzvah,
So it would seem, according to the Chasam Sofer, what should emerge is that let's say I take my shemus, I take my divrei Torah, I have my papers, and I put them outside. I don't put them in the regular garbage. I put them outside. I have my papers and my Torah journals and whatever. I have like a whole stack of them. I leave them outside, and the garbage men are going to come. The non-Jewish garbage men are going to come, and they're going to throw the papers in with everything else. Let's say they're not even going to throw it in the recycling bin. Recycling is a different issue. Moshe Feinstein talks about that. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's say they won't throw it in the recycling. Let's say they're going to throw it in mamish in the garbage. I still perhaps might be allowed to leave the papers out. Because according to the Chasam Sofer, based on this Gemara, Gram Mechikas Hashem is mutter. So I didn't do anything. I just left it outside. I'm not destroying it biadayim by leaving it outside. I'm only causing it to get destroyed because then the goyim are going to take it out. The non-Jews are going to take it out. So even if there is a chi of geniza against Rav Shtemrach, even if we'll assume that it's actually an obligation of geniza, but if Gram Mechikas Hashem is only, if Gram Mechikas Hashem is mutter, so then I haven't done anything. I might have a chi of geniza, I can't be ma'abed biadayim, but I can be goreim, I can cause the shame to be nimchak, I can cause these Kitzvei HaKodesh to become destroyed, so maybe there's no problem. Not all achronim agree with this chasam sofer. There's a tshuva of the Noda Biyehuda. Noda Biyehuda, as well as Rav Shlomo Kluger, different achronim, amachmer, they say the chasam sofer's diuk is incorrect. First of all, Even if the diuk from the Gemara is correct, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this halacha, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that Gra Mechikas Hashem is mutter. What's more, there are Gemaras that are against the Gemara in Shabbos. So even if you think that the Gemara in Shabbos might be a raya that Gra Mechikas Hashem is mutter, but the Gemara in Megillah that we quoted earlier seems to prove that Gra Mechikas Hashem is aser. What's the Gemara in Megillah that we quoted earlier? The Gemara says you have to bury the Shemos in a Kli Cheres. Sefer Torah Shebola goes nasa b'Kli Cheres. Why in a Kli Cheres? So as I explained, it seems as though what the Gemara is telling us that we can't even do something that might lead to further Mechikas Hashem. If we just leave the Sefer Torah in the ground, then it'll get destroyed more quickly. So there's a chiyuv not to allow it to get destroyed more quickly. You're not destroying it by putting it in the ground. The worms and the acid and the liquid and whatever other factors are going to play on the Sefer Torah and cause it to be destroyed. So you're only goreim that the Sefer Torah is going to be nimchak, that the shame is going to be nimchak even more. So why should you have to put in a kli cheres? Zok to know the Behuda. Don't you see from that Gemara Megillah that Gra Mechikas Hashem is aser against the diuk of the Chasam Sofer and Shabbos? So first of all, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the Gemara in Shabbos. Secondly, from the Gemara in Megillah, you get the impression that Gra Mechikas Hashem is taka aser. And thirdly, the comment that you made. If you look at the Meiri in Shabbos and that Gemara, he says the only heter of Gra Mechikas Hashem is Litzarach Mitzvah. The guy has to go to the mikveh. Tevilas Mitzvah. So maybe B'makom Tevilas Mitzvah should be mutter. Gra Mechikas Hashem might be mutter B'makom Mitzvah, but Shalom B'makom Mitzvah. Who says it's mutter? So the Nodeh Behuda is not at all convinced that the Chasam Sofer is correct. This is a machlokas in the poskim. So how do we paskin? So there are many who are mekel. Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva where he assumes that putting Mishnayis and Gemaras and Torah Shebal Peh in a recycle bin is mutter. Reb Moshe assumes that Gra Mechikas Hashem is mutter. He goes with the Chasam Sofer. So he says, what's the recycle bin? It's Gra Mechikas Hashem. And he even says Mishnayis and Gemaras. I think a lot of us would probably feel uncomfortable putting a Gemara in the recycle bin, putting a Mishnayis in the recycle bin, but certainly Parsha sheets. I imagine you can put Parsha sheets in the recycle bin, Reb Moshe would say. What pshat here? Gra Mechikas Hashem is mutter. This is only Divrei Torah. It's not a real Shem Hashem. Reb Moshe holds it should be mutter to put them in the recycle bin because no matter what happens to it, it'll be destroyed. It's going to be burnt up. I don't know what they do with the paper. Somehow they process the paper. So it'll be burnt up. It'll be destroyed. But Gra Mechikas Hashem is mutter. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Tshuvas Har Tzvi, he goes a little bit further. He says, the reason why Gra Mechikas Hashem by Divrei Torah is mutter is because even if it's usser, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan to begin with. So since Kisvei HaKodesh and Perushim and Biurim, since the whole Issa Mechikas Hashem in that case is only Mid'Rabbanan, and even if you want to say, right, that Gra Mechikas Hashem is Aser, Gra Mechikas Hashem still would be a lower level than regular Mechika. That's what Sweet Pesach Frank's Chiddush. That even if you'll tell me that Gra Mechikas is Aser, it still is not going to be on the same level as a regular Mechika. So, Mechikas Hashem, let's talk about a regular Shem. Hashem Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. Regular Mechika is an Issa Deraisa. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank assumes that Gra Mechika, even by a regular Shem, would only be Midrabanan. So Gra Mechika maximum is only Midrabanan, he says. And Mechika of Torah Shebal Peh, of Kisvei HaKodesh and Pirushim and Biurim is only Midrabanan either. It's a Trei Derabanan. It's two Derabanans coming together. So if it's two Derabanans coming together, he said there's room to be Mekel. There's room to be Mekel. So both Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank are Mekel to assume that you can have this Gra Mechikas Hashem by putting the Torah Shebal Peh, the Mishnayis, the Gemaris, and certainly the Parsha sheets into the recycle bin. This is in strong contrast to Rav Shechter's opinion. Rav Shechter apparently has said on occasion that he thinks that one should not put the parasha sheets into the recycle bin. Why? It's only Gra Mechikas Hashem. So he claims no. He says by putting them into the recycle bin itself, you're already disgracing Divrei Torah. Why? What's the design for Divrei Torah if you put it into the recycle bin? The answer is, he quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that when they had Harugei Bezdin, different people who were Chayiv Nisa from Bezdin, they put them in different Batei Kfaros. Right, the Beis HaKfaros for the Chayvei Skila was not the Beis HaKfaros for the Chayvei Sreifa and the Chayvei Chenek and the Chayvei Herod. All of the different Harugei Bezdin are on a different level. A Rasha Gomer is not buried next to a Rasha Kav. Every person is buried in a different place. A person, we don't bury Hamon Am, regular people, next to Tzadikim. We have different places. Because a person who has a different level of Kedusha deserves a different burial. Rabbi Shechter says that burying, let's say you bury Shemus, but you put it together with Sifrei Chol. That's also a Bizayin for the Shemus. To bury Dvarim Shebe Kedusha next to Dvarim Shechol would be a Bizayin. So he says putting Divrei Torah in the recycle bin together with regular papers, with secular papers, that's a bizayon for the Divrei Torah. So the very act of putting it in the recycle bin would be a bizayon. That would be awesome. And for the same reason, Rabbi Shachter says that if you're going to bury a newspaper, you'd have to cut out the Divrei Torah from the newspaper. You couldn't bury it together with the other parts of the paper. The Jewish press doesn't have only Divrei Torah. Rabbi Shachter holds that you would have to cut out the Divrei Torah. You should cut out the Divrei Torah from the Jewish press. You can't just bury it together with everything else. That's a big chumrah. First of all, he assumes that the Divrei Torah require geniza. And secondly, he says that you can't be gonez it all together with the secular parts. You really have to separate the Divrei Torah from the rest of the paper. That's a big chumrah. I think most people assume that as long as you put it in the recycle bin, or if you want to bury it, you have a little bit of secular material there. If that's such a bizayon for the Divrei Torah, many people are making. I mean, to sit there and cut up a Jewish press, it would be very difficult, because they have Divrei Torah in so many different pages. They try to keep them separate. There are many people who express this desire, and I think some of the Jewish publishing houses were capable of this. They try to print the Divrei Torah on separate pieces of paper, so just take those pages and throw them in the garbage, but it gets a little cumbersome sometimes. Sometimes they want to print on other pieces of paper, so that's more tricky. Right? It's trickier, but I think most poskim would be maker. Rabbi Shechter is very machmer when it comes to that, to cut out the Divrei Torah and to put it separately. Okay, that's in terms of newspapers. What's the halacha when it comes to Shemos and Divrei Torah on tapes, computer screens, hard drives? Right? We have many other media bisman hazeh that we're talking about. So what's the halacha when it comes to these inyonim? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva in Yoredeya. He actually has two tshuvas, one in Chelek Aleph, one in Chelek Beis. Rabbi Moshe writes that he thinks Me'ikar Adin, one is allowed to erase a shear from a tape. Me'ikar Adin. But he says it's not the right thing to do because it's nirik mechikas Hashem. It looks like it, but it's not really usur. It's not really a shame because you can't see it, he says. So to bring the Divrei Torah tape into the bathroom, he says, there's no problem. You don't see the Divrei Torah, there shouldn't be any problem. And then in a second shuva, he writes that he thinks certainly there should be no problem with erasing the tape by taping another shear on top of it. In other words, if it's only a gram mechika to begin with, you're not just erasing a tape for the shame, you know, the shame erasing, you're recording another shear. So if you record another shear, that zicha should be with it. I think that's what most people assume. There are some poskim who say you can erase the tape if it's not nikar la'ayin, you can't see the shem Hashem. There's no sense of shemos at all on the tape, so there shouldn't be any problem. Computer screens, I think most poskim are makel for computer screens. There's some articles that have been written recently about computer screens and what kind of a ksiva is it. I think most poskim are makel for several reasons. First of all, maybe we shouldn't view this as ksiva because it's not a ksiva shel kayama. It doesn't last because the moment that you turn the computer screen off, it's not going to last. And even if you don't turn the power off on the computer, there's a screensaver. It's not going to stay on forever. So once the screensaver comes on, it's gone. It's not a ksav shel kayama, so maybe it shouldn't be viewed as ksiva. That's one idea. Others claim, it's not ksiva b'chalal. What is this? It's writing? It's just lighting up the pixels. It's not real ksiva in the classical sense. In fact, there are some poskim who say that on chalamoid, even though ksiva on chalamoid is asa, when it's not allowed to write on chalamoid, shelo letzorech, but typing on a computer, some poskim say one is allowed to do. Others claim it's a maisa uman. It's worse because it's not a maisa heyud. It's not an insignificant kind of ksiva. It's like a fancier kind of ksiva. But many poskim say that one is allowed to type on a computer on chalamoid because it's not really ksiva at all. It's just lighting up the different pixels. That's not really called ksav. And the hard drive, in the same way, it's not nikkel ayin. It would be similar to tapes. So a hard drive, one would be allowed to erase a hard drive, even if you're not just saving something else, and as a result of saving something else, now you've erased part of the hard drive. Let's say you want to erase the hard drive. Erasing the hard drive also, it's not nikkel ayin, it's not recognizable that there are shemos there, so l'chorot should be moved. I'd like to close just by talking about wedding invitations. Wedding invitations presents two very important problems. One is a shameless issue and one is a more general issue. Let's talk about these two issues. The first issue is a shameless issue in terms of writing psukim on the invitation. Is one allowed to write psukim? What pasuk do you have on a wedding invitation? Al Yishava Ba'ar Yehuda V'chutzas Yushalayim Kol Sasa Kol Simcha Kol Chazam. Right? We're familiar with the pasuk. So many wedding invitations have the whole pasuk. Al Yishama until Kol Sasa Kol Kala. So some poskim have suggested that maybe it's a problem. Maybe you shouldn't write the whole pasuk of Od Yishama on the wedding invitation. Why? It's a pasuk. It's no worse than Kisvei HaKodesh and Pirushim. It's mamash a pasuk from Nevi'im. Maybe you'll say it's not a full sefer. It's not a full sefer. But the Shulchan Aruch and Yeredeya in Simin Reish Pei Gimel Siv Dalid quotes the following halacha. Interesting halacha. Shulchan Aruch says one should not embroider a pasuk on a talis. Why shouldn't you embroider a pasuk on a talis? So the Shach explains, because, look, tzitzis is only tashmishei mitzvah anyway. You don't have to be knowing kedusha with tzitzis. You can bring tzitzis into the bathroom. So technically speaking, you can bring a talis into the bathroom. We happen not to bring a talis that we daven with into the bathroom because it's a beged tefillah. But technically speaking, if you were to wear a talis, if you had a four-cornered garment with tzitzis on it, and it's not below your clothing, I mean, if we walk into a bathroom with tzitzis below our clothing, it's not an issue because it's below the clothing. But if it's above the clothing, let's say a person is wearing the tzitzis out. So the tzitzis are out. A person can walk into the bathroom. There's no question that you can walk into the bathroom with tzitzis. It's tashmishi mitzvah. So the Shach says the problem is if you wear your talis into the bathroom and the part of the talis that has the embroidered psukim on it is going to be exposed, that will be a bizayon for the pasuk. That will be a bizayon for the pasuk. It's not a bizayon for the tashmishi mitzvah for the tzitzis, but it will be a bizayon for the pasuk. So obviously he's assuming that they wear the talis in such a way that the pasuk is going to be exposed. So from that, there are those who want to suggest that if on a wedding invitation you have a full pasuk, you should be afraid that people are going to throw out the wedding invitation. Many people do throw out after the wedding, once they've given the gift, right? If you save it until you give the gift. Once you gave the chasan and kala a gift, so then you'll throw out the wedding invitation. If you have a full pasuk on it, there might be a problem. In fact, there were some who wanted to claim that even putting just kol sason v'kol simcha on the wedding invitation should be a problem as well, because it's a reference to the pasuk. So if it's a reference to the pasuk, that also should be a problem. Rav Shechter felt that that's not a problem. You put only kol sason v'kol simcha, that's just a melitza b'yama, that's an expression. It's not a full pasuk, so that lechora should be okay. But all poskim say that just writing nales yushalayim al rosh simchaseinu, that's definitely mutter. That's not a pasuk anywhere. So that's the best thing to do. The best thing, if you want to avoid the whole issue, if you just write Nalas Yushalayim al Rosh Simchaseinu, you avoid the whole problem. You want to write a little bit more, you can put in Kol Sasam or Kol Simcha. But it's best not to put the whole pasuk there, because many poskim assume it really would be a serious issue just to throw the invitation out. Just to throw the invitation out. Maybe if you put it in a plastic bag, according to Rav Sternbuch, there might be room to be makel, because it's not really... It's only from the Vim Ksuvim, the Pasuk, so maybe that's not on the same level as Chamisha Chamshei Torah, so maybe it's a status of Kisvei HaKodesh, so maybe that might be better. right again, according to Rav Sternbach, Kisvei HaKodesh, Perushim and Biurim doesn't have a Chi of Geniza, you just can't be Noheg and Minig Bizayon, so if you put it in a plastic bag, that should be okay. So if you're in a bind and you got an invitation which has the full Pasuk on it, maybe there's room to be Mekil for that. But certainly if you're printing invitations, you're making a chasana, the best thing to do is to avoid the whole issue and not to put the full pasuk on it. No one reads the invitation anyway, so you don't have to put the whole pasuk on. You put a couple of words on it, it's enough. As long as you fill up the piece of paper, that's okay. That's the first issue regarding invitations. But the second issue, which many people are not machmer for, Rabbi Shaft is very machmer on this, and that is how to write the lettering of the invitation. This is not strictly a shemos issue, but it's related to shemos. And that is the Ramon Yeredei in Simin Reish Pei Dalet Siv Beis quotes the Yesh Omrim that one is not supposed to write Devarim Shalchol in what he calls Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris is the Ksav that we write the Sefer Torah with. Black lettering, as we call it. The technical Ksav Ashuris with the Tagim and whatnot, that's how we write the Sefer Torah. But the Acharonim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch point out that Ksav Ashur is the halacha of Ksav Ashur is for this halacha and for other halachas applies to any black lettering. You know, so there's some svarim now. Some of the Rishonim are printed in black lettering. There's some claim that has a din of Ksav Ashur, even though it's not really kosher for a Sefer Torah, but if it's black lettering, that would have a din of Ksav Ashur. That's what the Gilyon Marsha on the side of the Shulchan Aruch writes there in Yerudei. So the Ramah says one shouldn't write Dvarim Shalchol in Ksav Ashur. Why not? What's the problem? So apparently, what this Yesh Arim holds is that since Ksav Ashuris is the Ksav that we use to write the Sefer Torah, and even if it's not technically the Ksav that we use to write the Sefer Torah, it's just black lettering, but it's similar to that Ksav Ashuris that we use to write the Sefer Torah, it's a bizoyan for the Ksav of the Torah if we're going to write Dvarim Shalchol with this Ksav. You have to use a different kind of a Ksav. And the Yachron and the Pesachet Shuvah there on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch writes that there is somewhat machmir to be very careful not to be knowing a minig bizayin with a sefer, with a book that was printed b'ksav Ashur. It's not Divrei Torah. A Hebrew book printed b'ksav Ashur. Some are machmir not to bring a Hebrew newspaper into the bathroom for this reason. Forget about whether they should have printed the newspaper b'ksav Ashur, but to bring it into the bathroom, that's using the noheg aminig bizayon in Ksav Ashuris. If you can't write Divrei Chol with Ksav Ashuris, you shouldn't be able to bring it into the bathroom either. Wow. So Rabbi Shechter, based on this, he's makbid on all the wedding invitations of his children. He writes the wedding invitations, and others are makbid as well. He writes the wedding invitations in Rashi script or in regular script. It's interesting, the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer, the Ksav Sofer in a tshuva writes that he thinks that Rashi introduced his ksav in order to solve his problem. Because he gave another ksav for people to write so that they'll be able to write the Divrei Chol without, not that he could write his Perushim on Chumash, that's not the Divrei Chol, but so that people will have another kind of a ksav to write with, that they'll be able to write the Divrei Chol without this problem of writing the Divrei Chol with ksav Ashuris. Rabbi Shechter feels that a wedding invitation is Divrei Chol. So if it's Divrei Chol, you shouldn't write the wedding invitation with Ksav Ashuris. You shouldn't write it with black print. So he says you should either write it in Hebrew script, or if you want, you can write it in Ksav Rashi. I think Hebrew script is probably better than Ksav Rashi. Ksav Rashi looks a little bit strange on a wedding invitation. But Hebrew script should be okay. The Ksav Sofer himself writes this as well. He says he thinks that a wedding invitation should not be written with Ksav Ashuris, but he writes there in the tshuva. This is in Ksav Sofer, Evan Ha'ezah Simon Chavbeit, if you want to look it up. He quotes his father, the Chasam Sofer, was not Makdeh, because his father, the Chasam Sofer, felt this is not Dvar Shalchol. It's a Dvar Mitzvah. A wedding invitation is a Dvar Mitzvah. To get married is a Mitzvah. So the Chasam Sofer felt this is Lidvar Mitzvah. So this problem of writing Dvarim Shalchol B'Ksav Ashuris wouldn't apply, since the wedding invitation is for a Dvar Mitzvah, it should be Mutter. So some are Makbid, some are not. Rabbi Shechter is Makbid. There are some others who are Makbid. I think most people are not so Makbid on the Ksav Ashuris issue, but on the Pasuk, putting a full Pasuk in the wedding invitation, I think that is avoidable. It's easier to do, so if at all possible, a person should try to avoid that. Either just write Kol Sosom or Kol Simcha, or just avoid the whole thing and not put the Pasuk in at all. I'll stop there.